Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the cottage later on, too. This is a very special year for Ken. 70 years. It's a long time. But I'm very thankful for that. And I have been thinking about this when I was home. And then I thought, what is Ken really like? And then I thought about the name, Pilgrim. Pilgrim Ken. What does it mean to be a pilgrim? It means somebody that has their sins forgiven and started on a journey with Jesus to the celestial city. And we trust that everybody gets there, that ever started. But then I thought about Pilgrim's Progress. I thought it would fit right in today, into this. 70s here. And it was written by someone that lived in England, a pastor, suffered for the Lord in prison, but he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And so we were reading the book that was written for the children, and we're still at it. Very interesting. And but what is really important? So I have been thinking a little more, and then I thought of Ken again, and I thought, well, quite a few have started here at Ken their pilgrimage, down in the village, the cottage, the dogs, and then most likely still on the way, and hopefully some got there already to the selection city, but here today, we already started to go to heaven someday. And so these thoughts came into my heart, my soul, and I thought, that's what I'm going to teach the children, how they can start and how they can end. And hopefully everyone, one day will meet them there. And then I thought about other things at camp. And there are certain places that we named after some of the people and place in Pilgrim Camp. One is the palace, and that is called in Pilgrim's Progress, is Palace Beautiful. And what was it for? For the pilgrim to rest. First of all, he got something to eat. That's what we get to eat right here at the palace. So, yeah. And then we have the waiter's quarters. When Pilgrim came to the palace there, he was greeted by some ladies, and when the waitresses get into their rooms, they go into different rooms, they are named by Pilgrim's Progress, by these ladies. And then we have, he arrived in the village. First one is Hopeful. He started walking with Christian. And then we have Faithful. He walked, that was before Hopeful started, but he walked with Christian too. And so it's a very, very interesting book and story, but we learn our lessons from the Bible. We go by the book and know there are different places, like difficulty, you know, very many difficulty things in life, but we go to the Word of God and we find out how can we get started, how can we go on with Jesus. And so that's what we're at this time. So you're going to hear a little more about this Pilgrim's Progress here, because I wrote it a little bit in a short cut, and so to give them an idea of what it's like. If you never write the book, I would say everybody should read that book. It's very good to know.
in the cottage are enjoying the story of Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. It tells of a pilgrim who is on his way from the city of destruction to the celestial city. At first, we find Graceless, the pilgrim who is later called Christian, in the city of destruction, which for us is the world. Graceless carries a big, heavy burden on his back, a picture of our sins.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23.
Graceless called out, "What must I do?" Evangelists who had come to the city heard his cry and pointed him to the gate of repentance, which would lead him to the cross and to the narrow way. Jesus says,
"Repent of your sins and turn to God." Matthew 4:17.
So Graceless left the city of destruction and hurried to the gate. A picture of us turning away from our sinful way and turning to Jesus, who will help us to do right. Once Graceless went through the gate, he came to the cross where Jesus had died. There, his burden rolled off and was gone forever, and his name was changed from Graceless to Christian.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9.
Christian also received a scroll to read on the way, which is the word of God and his pass to enter the celestial city. He was so happy and gave 3 leaps of joy and went on his way singing. Which was leading him to the celestial or heavenly city. Before climbing the hill difficulty, he drank from the spring at the bottom of the hill, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit filling us more greatly. It gave Christian strength to climb hill difficulty. At the Palace Beautiful, he received the armor of God to fight the enemy on the way.
Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand your ground. Ephesians 6:13.
As soon as Christian descended down to the Valley of Humiliation, he met Apollyon. He had a hard time fighting that big monster, which is our big I or self filling our hearts. But with God's word, the sword of the Holy Spirit, he wounded Apollyon so badly that the enemy had to flee.
To be a Christian.
the valley of humiliation, Christian had to walk through the dark valley where he had to conquer fear, and he had to watch that he would not slip off the narrow way. Faithful, another pilgrim, was just ahead of Christian, and after they had left the dark valley, walked together the narrow way.
When I walk through the dark valley, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Psalm 23:4.
Christian and Faithful had not walked very long together when they had to pass through Vanity Fair. The people of that place were very cruel to the two pilgrims because they did not want any worldly pleasures and finally killed Faithful. But Hopeful, who had spent some time in Vanity Fair, was so glad that he could leave that place and continue on the narrow road with Christian. After some time, the narrow way was very rough because of grumbling, complaining, and getting discouraged. Giant despair put them into the dungeon of Doubting Castle. Through prayer, repentance, forgiveness, and the key of promise, they could escape and get back onto the narrow way.
The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12.
At a crossroad, the two pilgrims did not look into the Word of God for guidance, and so the flatterer, God's enemy, had a chance to lead them the wrong way and caught them in a big net. Because of their disobedience, they were punished and finally set free to return to the narrow way. Ground was a very dangerous place because pilgrims would become very drowsy. Hopeful almost fell asleep, but Christian made sure that he would stay awake. We too have to watch that we don't neglect reading the Bible and spend less time in prayer. A very delightful time. So they had to cross the dark river, death. On the other side, they were met by angels, and at the gate of the city, they were presented their scrolls, which they had received at the cross, and then were welcomed with great joy into the heavenly city. The narrow way at times had been easy and smooth, at other times rough and steep. But because of the tests, trials, and victories, their lives began to change, and they were becoming more like Jesus. All of us are invited to start on this pilgrim journey with Jesus. He will walk with us day by day till finally we will enter the heavenly city to live with Jesus and enjoy his fellowship forever and ever.
Jesus, lead me.
Make me rain, make me know that you much. That was lovely. So nice and loud. I almost shook off my seat sometimes. So loud. Praise God. And what a wonderful message. That's a great story, Pilgrim's Progress. In our church, we had a vacation Bible school based on that story. And we had a great skit afterwards, Pilgrim, and so on. Thank you for reminding us of those precious truths. Let's sing, "What Can Wash Away My Sins? Nothing but the Blood of Jesus." We heard about that. That's number 208, I believe, in our hardcovered hymnal. 208. It means that it's of great value. Blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his precious blood, he opened the way, he provided a way for us to be saved and to know him, for him to come into our lives. And there's no other way, Jesus said, to come to know the Father but through him, and by believing in what he has done for us on Calvary. And so all the money in the world cannot buy our salvation. As we've sung, all the good works that I could do could never measure up and deserve God's favor. The only thing in the world, the only thing in the universe, the only thing for time and eternity that could provide, bring salvation to us is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection, trusting in the shedding of his precious blood to wash away our sins. And this morning, even now, we can open our hearts to him. And if we've never received Christ as our Savior, if we don't know the peace that comes by having our sins forgiven and our guilt removed, we don't know the joy that comes into our lives by having God Himself come to live in us. We can experience that by putting our faith in Christ. And so let's do that right now. Some of you have, I'm sure. Many of us have. But there are some perhaps here this morning that have not given themselves to God like that and embraced His salvation by faith. But this morning we can do that. And so let's take a moment to look to Him. Praise God. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Father, that You so love the world that You sent Your only Son. You gave Him that whosoever would believe in Him would put their trust in Christ and what He has accomplished on the cross for us. We would not perish, but we would have everlasting life. And Lord, if there be any here this morning that are on the fence, they've been considering these things, but they've never really come over onto Your side and put their full trust in You. Lord, we pray this morning that grace will be granted to them and that You shall enable them to open their hearts and embrace Your salvation. Lord, come into our lives. Wash away our sins. Forgive us of all that we are and all that we have done. And we pray that You will come and live within our hearts and by Your power enable us to live the life that God has called us to live. Lord, we cannot live that life apart from Your salvation, You living in us, and You enabling us to walk in Your way. And so, Lord, we thank You. Thank You that You love every one of us. And we thank You that You extend Your salvation to everyone. And we open our hearts to You this morning and receive You into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Our brother John Munsinger will speak to us now. He has been a camp trustee for a long time. He also ministers in the Ridgewood Church. He was Sunday school superintendent for over 25 years, I know. And he teaches 50. That's over 25, yeah. And he also teaches Bible classes and on Sunday nights, once a month, I understand. He brings a Bible lesson. And so, apart from all of that, he really loves Jesus. And he loves the Word of God. And so that's why we'd like to hear from him this morning. Come, Brother John.
I join Brother Kenneth in welcoming every one of you to Pilgrim Camp for this 70th season. It's always a tremendous joy to see friends from near and far, some that we only see at this time of the year. And it's very heartwarming and very gratifying to see how many people return to camp and how many newcomers there are, because this is a very special place to all of us, and it's a place where God meets us and speaks to us and encourages us and helps us and is with us, makes His presence known to us. I want to congratulate the Cottagers for another outstanding presentation this morning, with the verses that you memorized, the songs that you sang. And you know, it's my prayer that the truths that you sang about and recited will lodge very deep in your hearts, that you will never forget what you have learned here in this past week and in the week to come, that will be carried with you throughout your entire life. I have a thought I just want to share with you, a verse that came to me this week. And it's from the book of Jeremiah, 32nd chapter and the 17th verse, where Jeremiah prays this prayer. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." And it was those last few words of that verse that stuck with me in a very strong way this week. "And there is nothing too too hard for thee. When Jeremiah spoke these words, things could not have been worse in his life and in the life of the nation that he was prophesying to. Enemy armies had surrounded the cities. Their fate was inevitable. They were about to go into bondage and slavery as part of God's working with them. And it was, and Jeremiah himself was in prison because he was warning the people about the things that were about to come to pass. But in the midst of all that, God asked him to do a very strange thing. A thing that, normally speaking or logically, would not have been at all reasonable to do. After all, as I said, the land was about to be destroyed. It was about to be overrun. The buildings were going to be broken down, and the temple would be ruined. And it was a grim prospect for the people of God. But God told him to buy a piece of property. Now, why would you buy property in a distressed area like that? But God was telling him that he would again restore his people, that they would come back to that land. And as a sign of that faith, Jeremiah, who would never see the property or never experience owning that property as and living on it, because he was already old and it would be at least 70 years before they came back, he obeyed God and he bought the property. And he signed all the papers, had them notarized, had all the attorneys do what they do for the purchase of a property. And after that was all done, he utters this prayer where he reminds God, first of all, of who he is. You're the creator. You're the one that made this world. You know, one of the reasons why camp is so beautiful and so wonderful and so precious to us is because it really gives us an opportunity to see God's handiwork. If you look up at the sky at night while you're here at Pilgrim Camp, you just see how great this creation is. The stars, all of the things that God put in place. And then to think of these mountains and the lake and the trees and the beautiful scenery that we have all around us. I hope every day that you go about the camp, you are made aware of how wonderful God is and how much of a creation he has made for us. One little fact as we celebrate our 70th anniversary that just comes to mind is even the road here leading out of the village and going out towards the palace was selected specifically because it gives a great view of the lake and of the mountain and the island out there. It was Brother Edwin who, when we first began to build this village area, who said, let's make the road right here. This way, every time the children go to the palace, to the other parts of the camp, they'll see this gorgeous scenery of the lake and of the trees and of the mountains. So, you know, there was a lot of thought that went into selecting this place and building this place, all because we wanted to emphasize the greatness of God as our Creator. And that's how Jeremiah begins his prayer. He says, I'm speaking to the one who made the entire world. Oh, Lord God, he said, you have made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. God is a wonderful God. He's a great God. He's a miracle God. And then he adds these words. He says, there is nothing too hard for thee. I would guess that there are many people here this morning who are facing circumstances which seem beyond their ability. Maybe they're praying for a loved one. Maybe they are dealing with financial problems. Maybe they're dealing with other problems that seem insurmountable and unsolvable by human hands and human minds. But we have a great God for whom nothing is too hard. And Jeremiah had that faith in God. He knew that God would fulfill his word, that the God who told them to buy that piece of property would fulfill it and allow his children and grandchildren and those who followed on would enjoy that piece of property and enjoy the land. And I just want to remind you in these few minutes, we serve a God for whom nothing is too hard. And if you have a problem, if you have something that you think is insurmountable, God is able. God is able to solve that problem and meet that need and be the Savior that you want him to be. May God bless you and all of the children. I'm looking forward to hearing from our villagers. Thank you. God bless you.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in his word. Hearken to the voice of God to me. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon his word. For everything, yes, everything, yes, everything is possible.
That'd be hard to play on guitar, so I let Brother Paul work his way through that one. Let's sing number 96 in our white book. The Savior can solve any problem. We'll stand together and bring our offering to the Lord. Before you stand, let me mention that the offering this morning is for the purpose of enabling children to come to camp as campers that otherwise would not be able to. There's only one offering that's taken at camp each week, and that is the Sunday morning offering. And all of that money is put into the camp fund to help children come to our camp. Okay, so you can give with that understanding as the Lord lays it upon your heart. Let's stand together and sing 96. We get to the fifth verse, we'll know it. Praise God. Let's continue on. It sounds good.
Come
God for that. Amen. Now we'd like to hear from our villages. You know, a number of years ago, it was my duty and privilege to come to camp the first week. And then Brother Keith Schneider, his girls were campers, and I think he requested that he come the first week, something like that, so he could get them to camp on time. And I felt a little bit bad about that. I liked my first week, but I liked Keith too, so there was no problem. But now, as I look back, every time I come, I get to be down here in the village on Sunday. I have to thank your father, Amy, because I love being here to hear the cottagers and hear the villagers, and I would have missed that if I continued. So, anyway, now you can tell I'm expecting great things, right? So come, Sister Mary, and let us hear what the Lord has been doing for you.